Hosea chapter 6, verse number 1. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Amen. I want to say good evening to the congregation. It's good for us, again, for to be here. God is, has always been good to everyone. He's especially been good to those of us that are members of his body, where spiritual blessings are found only in Christ. I want to ask you if you ever heard these things in your walk with Christ. Talking about the Church of Christ again this afternoon. Say, what's wrong with the Church of Christ people? What's the matter with those folks? You know, it's always about water salvation for those people. And they don't believe in the Old Testament either. They don't believe in Holy Spirit conversion. They don't even believe in miracles. Those Church of Christ people say that they're the only ones that's going to be saved. Don't you know David had music? Church of Christ people don't have any. They think the church is their savior. They think that salvation is only by works. They don't believe in miracles. And this is the mark of the Church of Christ. They condemn everybody else. You ever heard that? You ever heard that? Talking about the Church of Christ, Jesus said the primary mission of the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16, 15, and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And this amounts to an invitation to everyone to accept the gospel and be added to the church. It amounts to an invitation that was for you and for you and for me, and the whole world is invited to the Church of Christ. To that same church that people talk about all of the time but refuse to be a part of. Spurn the invitation at every turn because it's just the Church of Christ. They can't get out of what they're in to be a part of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the church is open to all conditions. The church is open to all excuses. The church is open that it might cleanse all sin. All sin. And that is imposed, of course, by Jesus the Christ, God's Son, who is the founder and chief cornerstone of the church. He's the head of the body, Ephesians 1. It is Christ. It's Christ who determines whether the person will be added to the church or not. We can't add ourselves to the church, but it's you. It's you who determines whether you're going to be saved or condemned. See, it's by the volition of the hearer. That's what's involved. The church does not make that determination. The church that Jesus died for, that purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and 27, Acts 20 and 28, the church desires man's salvation and inclusion in the body of Christ. And if we don't desire that, then why preach the gospel to every creature? Why include him otherwise? Exclusion, then, is something a disbeliever chooses as an alternative to his faith. He chooses to disbelieve and not follow the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's obvious from the fact that the Lord's action, as we saw this morning, what a wonderful blessing God has given us, adding another member to his body this morning in baptism. It's obvious from the fact that the Lord's action takes place after baptism for the remission of sins, and that no unsaved person is added to the church. Not one. One is not added to the saved when he just has believed, or when he has both believed and repented. He's not added. He has, in that state, yet to receive forgiveness of sins. Therefore, persons who believe and are penitent, but they have stopped short of the full gospel obedience, are not in the Lord's church. They're not a part of the Church of Christ. They won't get talked about like that. He's not added them to it yet. They're just not there. They're not married to the Christ. Denominations are filled with people in this state. And sometimes to a fault, we in the Church of Christ allow people to come in and to sit and to stay and to sit and to stay. And lo and behold, we hear somebody say, I thought he was a member of the body of Christ. He's just getting baptized today. Well, why in the Sam Hill we never asked him? Why do we sit as a body of the Lord's people and just sit and be satisfied to come and to go and to see and hear not? People just can't sit on the promises of God. They can't just sit on the premises of God. Just like you and me, we have to stand on the promises of God, and it is the church that God has called out of a dark world into the marvelous light of his darling son, Jesus Christ, and we are to be the reflection of that light. So don't just let them sit beside you and do as they please. Invite them to sit beside you and do as God would have them to do, that he might be pleased. Don't even be pleased with your spouse to sit beside you if they're not obeying the will of God. Because their soul, just like anybody else's, is in jeopardy of damnation as well. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believeth, the TH in the King James Version, just indicates that it's an ongoing process. You can't just believe to get in the water and get out and don't believe ever again. You're still going to be a part of the church. But remember, apostasy is only for Christians. It's for Christians. And denominations are filled with people that just sit and think that they've submitted to the baptism that comes from God. But they've submitted to a denominational baptism, often by immersion, but not for the scriptural purpose which God has designed. The Lord has not added these people to his church, and we sit and we watch them, and we never say a thing. Go into the world and teach, Mark says. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, that believeth not shall be damned. You know, being in the modern denomination, it doesn't equate with the Bible view of obedience and salvation. Therefore, listen to me, members of denominations are not Christians according to the New Testament. They're just not. Hypothetics. Everything is hypothetical. People, when you start talking about the Bible, boy, they start jumping all around because they're feeling a little uncomfortable and they want to pull up hypothetical situations. And what is a hypothetical situation, Brother Collins? You've been in a court of law before or saw it on TV, and the word comes up, it's all conjecture. That's what hypothetical situations prove. It's conjecture. What if a guy was way over in the jungle somewhere and he heard, get out of here. Let's deal with what the word has in front of us right now. There's never any situation that you find in scripture where someone was in the jungle and never heard the word of God. Conjecture. Occasionally, somebody will hear the gospel and enough of it to learn the truth about baptism. And by a strange notion of some human nature, will convince himself that his own understanding of baptism was scriptural when he became a member of his denomination. We sometimes are urged to accommodate these people and accept their recollection of their conversion. We ask them, well, you were baptized before? I was baptized, Brother Collins. But their minds are clouded by whatever it is that they have learned. And why? Because they haven't learned the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have not been baptized according to the apostles' doctrine, and we need to investigate that. Because their lives, that's the same thing Paul told Timothy. He says, listen. He says, I want you to guard your life and guard this gospel diligently. Persevere in them, for if you do, you're going to save yourselves and the one that hear you. Where are you going to save them at? Salvation has a location, and it is the church of Christ. There's not salvation in any other. Acts 4:12, for there's no other name under heaven given to men whereby which they must be saved. Don't be ashamed when people tell you that, hey, you just a Church of Christ folk. Call me that. Call me that, because when Jesus comes back, that's what he's going to call me to. And I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to be delivered up. Amen. Call me that. But sometimes we accommodate these people because we want to make nice. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want anybody to just run away. They come and visit for the first time. We're not trying to be harsh to anyone. We're trying to save their lives. Galatians 4:16, Paul, am I then become your enemy? Amen? Because I tell you the truth. One thing about truth is people just, they just run away from it. They don't want it. They hear it, they recognize it, but they don't want it because they're satisfied to do the things that they want to do. But why? It's because they insist on it. And we cannot accommodate that. Hypothetical. If they were so mistaken in fellowship and denominational error and every other thing that pertains to religion, is it not highly probable that they were in error about baptism as well? How can you learn wrong and be baptized? Amen. Conjecture. If the person is sincere, as it is assumed of him, then why can he not simply start all over and do that which is right? As a matter of fact, in my mind, he's not starting all over at all. He is starting where God needs him to be that he might become a Christian. You can't suppose to be a Christian and start all over and say that I'm going to be one now. No, you never was one in the beginning. There's no starting over. It's just beginning to follow the pattern of God that you might find yourself a member of his glorious body, which is the church of Christ, and it is exclusive. It's inconceivable for me that one could read enough of the New Testament, learn the plan of salvation, and not learn anything about the church. I can't wrap my mind around that. I just can't. It's inconceivable that and learn the truth about the church that he could be happy or satisfied sitting in a denomination. Amen. If his appetite for truth is wet by the gospel preaching, by whatever means, and not by a personal study of the scripture, it is inconceivable to me that he has not inquired about the church or what church the preacher is a member of. People want to know that all the time, don't they? That's the first thing they ask you to hear you talking about God. Oh, what church do you belong to? As if there's any other church to belong to. They don't know that. That's why we have to go into the world and teach them about the church of Christ. And when he asks you that, they simply want to know, what religious system do you belong to? Are you denominational or non-denominational? I am neither. Thank you. That's when the juices start flowing. Well, what are you then? I am what God has called me to be. That's the bloodstained banner we have to hold up, church. We can't crawfish. We can't back up. We can't run and hide. We are members of the Lord's church. We are those Church of Christ people that they talk about all of the time who are anti-this and anti-that, but we are very much a part of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had a song when I was a young boy. That song used to say, run and tell that. Amen. Run and tell it. Preach it everywhere that you can find an ear that's going to listen, because life is at stake. It's at stake. It is highly improbable, hypothetical, conjecture. It's highly improbable that a man might pick up a tract. Amen. We're familiar with those, right? Church of Christ people pass out tracts all the time. Amen. It's highly improbable that he might pick up a tract, read about the gospel and the plan of salvation, and know absolutely nothing else about the truth. And let's just hypothetically say that the tract has no address, No publisher's name and no phone numbers on it at all. So they read that track and they run off to the first, man, look, denominational preacher that he can find. And he persuades that denominational preacher to baptize him. It's too much for me to believe that the readiness of mine is such that I understand the truth of the gospel, but I'm going to go to somebody who doesn't have the truth to baptize me? Hypothetically speaking, that's too much for me to handle. It's too much for me to believe that what he has read, that he doesn't know that it's true, and that truth comes from God. And that truth comes from his word. And that no denominational preacher or nobody else otherwise can baptize you wrong and you be right in God. Listen, it's a ridiculous position for me to take. That if one believes, repents, and is baptized for remission of sins, the Lord's going to add him to the Lutheran church. It's ridiculous for me to take a position and believe that if one believes, repents, and is baptized for remission of their sins, the Lord's going to add them to the Lutheran church, the community church, or even perhaps the Roman Catholic church. When we read the very words of God, and those churches, quote unquote, are not found in the scripture. We can't be afraid to teach it. Don't back off it. Just because the Roman Catholic church has millions, we have the majority in the Church of Christ. Our Lord, our God is one. One. That's the majority when it comes to spiritual things in our lives. Not anything that's in the outside of the scripture or in the outside world. It's all darkness. Darkness. And everybody in darkness is groping for the light. We have the light, Matthew 5:16, and let that light so shine before men that they might see the Christ in you, that they might see the love in you, that they might see that you obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and glorify God in the church. Let them see it. We're talking about the Church of Christ. People don't want to preach about that. They want to preach about all those other things that, let's talk about your finances when it comes to being a Christian. Out of here. We're talking about going to heaven and not a nickel is going to get me there. Amen? No, on the contrary, it might keep you out. Because it's funny how $5 at the grocery store is a little different than $5 in the church. Amen? We're talking about the Church of Christ now, where folks come and they just dollar Christ to death. Amen? But he paid an ultimate price for each and every one of us. He shed his blood that we might be a part of his body. Listen, the Bible teaches that the Lord adds a save to nothing else except his spiritual body. The saved are added to those of us that are saved already. It is possible for a saved person to become a part of a denomination, but that doesn't justify him in doing it. And it doesn't justify him in remaining in it. If he knows the truth, he will not be a part of any denomination. Period. I mean, even someone that's new at reading the scriptures, even a novice in the faith can understand that the church is the ecclesia. They can understand that church are the called of God. They can understand that the church is the called out, not the scattered about. Church is exclusive. It's exclusive. God's will that his people be set apart or sanctified for his own possession and use is what makes us exclusive. He's been setting apart for the longest time. We talked about butter and margarine this morning. Here's what I want you to understand. Nadab and Abihu went to offer a sacrifice of fire before God. And the mistake that they made was assuming that fire is just fire. It's fire. Well, we have gas fires, amen. We have electrical fires, am I right? We have trash fires, Am I right? And if fire was fire, we have chemical fires. Then why has man conceived in his mind that we're going to make different kind of extinguishers, because this extinguisher will not put out this fire? Amen? Am I right? Fire is fire, right? Your dad in the Bible, he thought it was. A church is a church is a church. And any old church is going to do. Go to the church of your choice. You've heard that before as well. Well, there is no choice when you're reading it from Scripture. Ephesians 1, and he is the head of the body, which is the church. Direct article, the direct article. You learn that sixth grade. Amen. Direct article, the church. Singular in nature, singular in tone, singular when it comes to belonging to God. God is married to the church. He is his bride, Ephesians 5, 23 and following. And our God is not polygamous. He is not a bigamist. Our God is one, and his bride is one. Exclusive is what it is. And when the law of Moses prevailed, the Jews were exclusively God's people. They were the elect, and they were to keep themselves separate from other religious concepts of other people, because if they didn't, they would suffer condemnation for it. And much of the old law was designed for that purpose. And under the new law, God's people continued to be set apart and made holy by God. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 18, we know it. We know it. But why don't we do it? Be not unequally yoked together with, what's the next word? Unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath the believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them. He didn't say all of them. Amen. And I will walk in them. I will be their God. Well, why are they looking for another God? Because God said, I am. I'm going to be your God. I am exclusive. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession. Zealous of good works, Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, your holy nation, a people for God's own possession, 1 Peter 2 and 9. That's who we are. We are those people. We are those people that have been elected by God to do his will. We are those who the world says, don't believe in the Old Testament. We are those Church of Christ people who don't believe in Holy Spirit conversion. We don't believe in miracles. We think we're the only ones that's going to be saved. We're those Church of Christ people who don't have any music, but David did. We're the Church of Christ people that believe that salvation is about works. We condemn everyone else. But I tell you what we do believe. We believe in God. Amen. Not only do we believe in God, we believe in his word. Folks are going to believe what they want to believe, and they're going to call you what they want to call you. But without being too much at a fault, there is really no comparison between the Lord's church and anything else. For there is nothing else out there, spiritually and scripturally, that God has ordained. Evaluate it, because God is our righteous judge. And search, since the church is exclusive, listen to me, there is no equal. none. Her very uniqueness, the very uniqueness of the church poses to all men a choice. And that choice is either for or against the body of Christ. Either you're in or you're out. Amen? Can't have both of them. Listen. This morning we talked about the distinction between A and non-A. Nowhere in my mind can I conceive that the church is even close to being non-A. Can't conceive the church of being close to being B, C, D, or E. And we can't fall under the assumption that the church is less than A. Because God has called us to be in that body. He's prepared that body. He has called the sun down from heaven that he might come to this earth and prepare that body for us that we might be saved. And salvation is in the church. Nowhere else can you find it. And if biblical doctrine of exclusiveness is swept aside, the church is going to slowly be destroyed. The question is asked, when Christ comes back, will he find faith? Will he find faith in you? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the true and living God? Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the exclusive Son of the true and the living God, who's exclusive as well, then you should believe by study of the scripture that the body of Christ is only one. One. It's only one church. We are the church of Christ. Embrace it. Celebrate it. Know full well that who you belong to. You don't have to wear it on your forehead. You don't need any phylacteries, but we belong to Christ. And I'm not ashamed of that. Anytime they ask me, I am a member of the church. But the world would have it so. Are you a member of that Hispanic church? That black church? Or you part of that white congregation down the street? We got a problem with that in the Church of Christ. I'm not a member of no black church. That's that Gramsci talk, amen? I'm not a member of no white church. I'm not a member of no Hispanic church. I am a member of the Church of Christ. Color peace. Color love. Amen? You might by chance want to color hatred, but we are members of the Lord's body in particular, whose head is Christ. It is Christ. If biblical doctrine, church, of the exclusiveness of the church is swept aside, the church will slowly be destroyed. It's going to merely become another human institution among the many. We can't sit and be satisfied to allow people to come and sit on the premises. We've got to stand on the promises of God. And when we do that, the light that is in us will overcome the darkness. And people will see the light. And they will run to the light because they're so tired of groping in darkness. And God will be there. And God will make a way for each and everyone who calls upon his name. I am the way, Jesus said. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That amounts to me to an invitation to everyone to accept the gospel and be added to the Lord's church. Run and tell that. Amen. If we can help you to understand and not be ashamed of the God that has called you to the gospel of his grace, he calls us to hear his word in John 6:45, to believe his word, John 8:24, that Jesus is the Christ. To confess, Romans 10:9 and 10, heart and mouth. It's a spiritual thing, don't you see? He commands us to repent of our sins, to turn away from that world of darkness and dwell in the light. Go all the way back over to Genesis chapter 12. And there was a plague of darkness all over the land. And the angel of death
came to visit Egypt. The Bible said in the morning there were screams of terror and crying everywhere. In the land of Goshen, there was none, because death could not take God's people, because they were a part of his elect. They were chosen. They were elite. They were set apart. And they were set apart by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just put the blood on the lintels of your door. Put the blood on your heart and allow death to pass you by. You're members of the body of Christ. You're a blood-bought institution. You belong to God, and let's act like it. Amen. Call me Church of Christ people. Call me that. Because when Jesus comes back, that's what he's going to call me to, and I will answer. If we can help you tonight, why don't you call me, stand and sing God's invitation song.